What was your question about King John?
Bob's or Carolyn?
Bob. The only Carolyn would never ask such a question.
Okay. Before we get into that, it reminds me of a question. It is hard for people, when we talk about my individual wantings that are not realized and go into the escrow when I pass on or transition, how one doesn't seem to be able to be aware of the wantings one has. How do you know the wantings that aren't realized?
Because of your contrast.
Oh, so if I have some contrast, that's helping me see what I'm wanting.
And it redefines it. That's exactly right.
So we need to start, being a little meaner on our walks to the beach, Carolyn. We need to create contrast so people can tell us what we want.
You know, people can't tell you what you want. You have to redefine what you want. That's why it took you 40 years to get to Maui the first time.
I wish you wouldn't bring that up. This absurd notice that took it. Can you imagine, Carolyn, we leave home, we eloped in 68. We come to Hawaii. We would have looked around for JW. Where is he? Or would it happen some other way? And this is absurd that we could have done it then.
It's just as absurd as the children of Israel being delivered from bondage with the spoils of Egypt and a 3-day journey it took them 40 years to achieve.
Uh-huh.
It was technically only 3 days
to crawl. 3-day walk.
To get to Canaan.
To get to the River Jordan.
Wow.
To cross into the land of Canaan.
I got to look into this book. It's a very interesting sounding book, the Bible. But but the basic thing is that they wandered for 40 years. Is that because they were sinning or something? Or
no. No, it's because, here's why. Sin never has anything to do with anything. Otherwise, why would Jesus forgive them?
That's right. He forgave them because they
didn't work. He forgave the sin, so sin didn't matter. Forgave them so completely that he went to hell. That's to the people that had died before there was Jesus.
Yeah.
And preached to them and brought them out. When he died, he went to hell. Mm-hmm. And he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And when he left purgatory, or the middle ground, or this, that, whatever you want to call it, he unlocked that, and all those saints, received or otherwise, were released from this middle place and allowed them to go directly to the goal, according to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they had to wander for 40 years in the desert was because all of the ones who left bondage, who left Egypt, who did not believe or had resistance regarding, or who would not accept this blessing that they're asking, who were grumbling every step of the way, they had to die in the desert before the entire group could get to the River Jordan and cross.
That's JW's frequency alignment. Right? That's the concept that we didn't get there unless we got frequency alignment.
Yes, and if you didn't get there, then that's okay. That's okay. They got manna every day. It fell from heaven. Manna in the desert fell, and they didn't take extra. They ate all they wanted, but they didn't save any, and then the next day they got more manna. That's where the manna started. That was the first manna.
So here are people, Carol, who are 3-2 wanting it every day, but mm-hmm. thinking they want to 1-2-3 it. Mm-hmm. Perfect words, Ion. Do you agree, Ion? Perfect words?
They come into that place, and then the only way they could receive, is to not achieve their unrealized creation. Their physical body.
No, you need to say it again. We both voted. We voted 2-1. Please say
this according. They had to not achieve their unrealized creation in order for able to go into the promised land. You see? They had to, the recording will help you with that. They had to drop the physicalness that was their body. Okay? They chose to drop the physicalness of their body because of the resistance that they had regarding the journey.
Right, but those, they had to not achieve something, but those that, what was the count they had to not achieve?
The ones who had resistance couldn't get to Jordan because they had resistance. And then their unrealized wanting went into the guff, and the new kids that were born held the resistanceless factor.
And that's a digression killer.
No, that's it. Those are perfect words. That's exactly right.
Well, let's go back to the ridiculous sentence, Karen. Why don't you read it to me? They had not to achieve. It seems to be backwards.
They had to. You don't like negatives, so
yeah.
That's what's got you going. They had to not achieve, so they couldn't
achieve
their unrealized creation. That's all.
If they had a... Okay, let's say...
No, it's not that. They couldn't achieve. They could not achieve their unrealized. They failed. And that was the condition to get into the promised land.
And they couldn't get to the promised land because they wouldn't allow themselves to be in the promised land. They wouldn't believe it.
They didn't believe it.
They wouldn't catch the concept that it was a 3-day journey and then they were in the land of milk and honey.
I don't see it. But your eyes are closed. Oh, that doesn't matter. I still don't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're following this Moses guy, and he was a murderer. And here we are out here, and he smoked the rock with his staff and made a terrible, terrible mistake with God, and the water flowed out of the rock because they were thirsty. They meant if God was going to drag them out here on this, their creation, then he had to make wonderful travel arrangements on their behalf.
I didn't get any of that. You see, if you miss one word, you don't know where the sentence is going. So I missed a word. I didn't know. Look, are you saying they spent the... How the hell did they find the kingdom? What did they do?
They had to wait until they died off. It's like, I have to wait.
Oh, was that what happened? Where'd you get that idea?
He said it earlier.
Oh, I missed that.
You had to wait until the resistors had to die off for them to get there.
Now, this is an example of human perception. I miss one little sentence, and then you build on it because you heard it. And I say, where the heck did you get that idea? You should have told me then, oh, I'm just riffing on what he said. So
we didn't know you missed that word.
Yeah, see, that's what we... See, the Tower of Babel is always lurking. Okay, and
well,
that's the tactility.
If you create another tea tale, JW and Carolyn are not going to understand.
Okay.
Okay, you got that now, Bob?
Well, now I can hear what you said and understand. So they did die off, everybody who started it.
No. The bodies who weren't in alignment.
They died off, and the new children helped them get there.
Well, yeah, that's
they
part of
knew
it.
That, okay, now if you really now pay attention, because here's another part of that story that you're fixing to get. And if you don't get this part, it could get pretty dicey.
It all falls apart if we don't get
the cloud of glory is what the children of Israel that were in bondage, who were freed by Pharaoh with the spoils of Egypt across the Red Sea, and they started their journey to the promised land, okay? There was a cloud, and it was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed the cloud of glory around for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And until all the naysayers or the non-believers or the ones that were grumpy because they were out in the desert being looked after and having spa treatments and getting facials and having manna fall from heaven and water out of the rock in the desert and everything being taken care of, every creature comfort looked after in their obedience of being released from bondage. Obedience of being released from bondage. Now stay with me, Bob. If you lose this, you're going to get out of whack here. They followed this cloud around, which is what Moses followed, and they followed Moses, okay, the deliverer.
Probably in a spidery network of ins and outs like Captain Cook.
Probably, until everyone in that original band, all those naysayers or non-believers or non-acceptors or resistance-minded reality seekers.
Not everyone, but a lot of them.
Not everyone, but a lot of them. They couldn't. Moses would have had a great service if he had said, okay, children of Israel, listen, here's the only rule. I can tell you with superior confidence that everything will be just fine if you learn to enjoy the ride. And he probably did say that, but they weren't going to have it, so it really didn't matter. But perfect words would have set them up on the course before they crossed the Red Sea. Said, now, wait a second, if you're not going to enjoy the journey, you're not, if you, here you go, here you go, here you go. Never is it happily ever after if it's not a happy journey.
It's like an equation. The journey must equal the destination happiness.
Correct. And the only way that is, or better way to say it is, it's always happily ever after when you enjoy the journey.
All right. That explains why it took Carol and I 40 years. We're into the enjoyment so much, we didn't even care where we were going and when we would arrive.
Because it's not like you were in the desert. You had a great concierge. You didn't miss anything.
That's right. We had a great time.
Getting that journey of getting you there, if you'd have been dropped off there in 3 days, you'd have been a naysayer the rest of your life.
Right.
The giant of Canaan would have probably killed you in your bed.
Mm-hmm. So we enjoyed, we did the equation for the first humans who ever enjoyed the trip so fully.
Mm-hmm.
I declare Bob and Connie the first enjoyers of the trip and actualize the equation of the happiness of the process equals the happiness at the destination.
Woohoo, CW.
And the person who named you CW or came out with letters, if he said that he found a CW too, did he name you CW? I think he did.
I think so.
Yeah, he arrives in 2 days. But that must mean something. It took him 40 years, too.
Yeah, how are we going to deal with this old curmudgeon guy? How's that going to go?
Let's not say that. He's a happy skeptic. He enjoys my stories about it, but he's never experienced the medium. But I know that he's now at a point in his life where he's going to be interested in it. He will be here for 3 weeks. And he'll hear us jabbering away into the speakerphone many times. What does Ion see? Great joy in this circumstance?
Well, it's his wanting. If he has any unfulfilled... Okay. All right. Here you go. Here's what's happening. In his physicalness, it is his body.
Yeah.
For the first time, he's resonating that he is time-dated.
Yes.
Meaning. There's parts that he's pushed against and he has given resistance regarding, and now he's running out of time stamps.
Did you say time stamps?
Stamps.
Time stamps, right.
Like you clock your car.
Yeah.
And you clock your car so many days into your retirement.
Because he just retired.
And now he's coming to the realization that he only has X number of time stamps left.
Wow.
Well, and you don't care, Bob, because you're already dead.
Yeah.
You're not worried about punching the clock.
Yeah.
He is. So there's a new acceptance or part that could be opened.
Yeah.
A new interaction that could be sparked. And unlike, so he doesn't have to take his Celebrex to dance like a kid again.
Right, and he does not want us to know he takes that.
No. I'm just saying that they start whittling into that place.
Mm-hmm. Celebrex is a painkiller. It's not an antidepressants.
Oh, so he metaphorically won't have to take that to death.
Correct.
Right.
Or he's realizing his mortality because of what the doctor has said.
Right. Has he had some serious warnings from his doctor?
Oh, they all scared him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're bullshit. Okay, good. So he's got that bullshit coming at him.
All right, and then that sets into place. He has to decide.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting, Carolyn, in my personal biography and yours, is that Steve was the first around me when I was a revelator 40 years ago, revelating away and people responding. He kind of didn't respond, though he did remain a great friend and responded in his eccentric way.
Yeah.
It's almost like his stubbornness made him become a great humorist, and that was always fun. So he's coming here again 40 years later, and he was our first person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The first friend that we thought, hey, maybe you might not know about cosmic awareness and that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how right he's turned out. We've come full circle. We're back to that point.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
With him again here, it's like we're back in 1968 when we lived together.
Yeah.
Is that a pattern or subplot in this?
Everything else, everything here.
Yes, it echoes. The word is isomorphic or Moire, M-O-I-R-E, overlaid.
Oh, that's not a word, Bob. You'll have to give it a meaning.
No, you're not French. We're bilingual in Canada.
Now, I think anybody's bedroom habits is their own business, don't you?
Yeah.
Moire.
Okay.
Bilingually.
Bilingual. Oh, bilabial. Bilabial. Okay.
Play with it, and J.W. and Carolyn had a fun conversation about making new words, because for J.W. going through the rewrite, everything has to be grammatically together. And now, listening to him speak is just one participle dangled after the other, but in
that's his training when he was a kid. That was his training.
Well, and then it comes into, you can't use contractions, and this word has to mean this, and you have to have a thesis. It has to flow, and you have to have a point, 3 points, and a point. You got to follow it, stick to that regimen. Well, in counseling, no, you don't. Contractions are okay. It makes it read better. We're making new words. We're getting a new thought process. It's okay.
Right. Because J.W. is not a writer, he has the semi-literate, the non-writer's attitude of following their grade 8 grammar teacher. They don't know that writers create new rhythms and things and change the language and the grammar.
Absolutely.
And that's his naivety on that point. And he doesn't know that people don't talk that way that he was taught in the 70s. So,
yeah, they speak well, they just don't talk right.
Yeah. So that's what's happening here. I mean, J.W. has a naive view of he's you going by his high school training or junior school.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't believe the time that he spends trying to diagram some of these crazy sentences. And you just can't do it. You have lines coming off with prepositional phrases that have no object.
And Carolyn has forgotten all that. And Carolyn can do it. And, you know, she does have to be edited, but her flow is more in tune to the way people read or think with it.
More important is to get the message than it is to have an eloquent elocution.
Yeah, it's more important. Now, what is this? They speak well. What's the phrase? They speak well, but
they don't talk right.
Right. So, Carolyn writes well, but she doesn't write correctly.
She
doesn't punctuate
perfectly. She writes perfectly. Now,
No. She speaks well. Yeah. Carolyn speaks well, but they don't talk right. Is that the sentence? They speak well, but they don't. Carolyn writes well, but from J.W.'s point of view, she writes. She punctuates incorrectly.
Well, or just simple little things. Just simple little things that are against his not so much college, because college nobody cared what you did, but
no, it's high school.
High school English, it was the end all.
That's right.
There was nothing else, and we lived in that world.
Yes, and the thing is that when I think
Beating a dead horse.
No, this is the reason why people, it's this metaphor for consciousness. Consciousness follows the rules, but real creativity doesn't follow the rules. And you're taught the rules as a kid. Didn't he say that line about obedience? The Moses guys were doing something with obedience. Obedience to get to the promised land.
Can you hold that for just 1 second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carolyn, right this second.
Yeah.
You go outside and look, you'll see something fine.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, here we are. Watch what Ion does. Going to show us something. Told Cal to go out in the balcony on April 16, 2009. Watch this.
Okay, well, the sunset is starting to line up.
Give it to the right. Or 3 lefts, whichever you prefer.
Okay, we're looking to the bright, which is out to the west, over our telescope. And we've got a great big sky full of clouds, and the sun is poking through some of them.
But look close to dark spaces.
Oh, yeah, we see when there's a line of dark spaces. Yeah.
The line, is it a straight line? Where's the dark space? Where, Carol?
Below the bright, there's a gap. And then
oh, you're looking over here.
A line of clouds.
Yeah, just sort of watch that a little bit and watch the configuration change in just a minute. The row of clouds, those are those things that Bob was talking about wanting to have intimate experience regarding.
So there's an alien craft out there, Bob.
Three of them.
Three of them, that's exactly right. And they're in a straight line and it didn't change.
Yeah, they kind of look like three fishes. One in the middle is more fish, the other one's a lump. Like that lump.
Are they more like cigar kind of shape?
Yeah. They're tubular, but in one...
Do I mean like Cubans, where they're fat in the middle and thin at the end?
The right one is Skippy and porous.
Just watch that a little bit. And then after a little while, they'll just disappear. And you don't know where they went. They didn't go anywhere, they didn't move anywhere, they just... There, and they're there, and they're gone.
Are they making themselves look like that?
Yes.
And what are they observing?
You.
Right. Are they got, you know, telescopes on us, or they got ESP on us?
They got sonar. A sonar you've never heard of before.
So they can translate into their understanding what we're saying.
But no, actually they're there watching the few whales that are left, because the whales are supposed to.
Oh, that's the sonar, right. But they're not...
Whales get it. That's why they're hanging around.
They're getting that they're being observed.
Correct.
And they like the feeling?
And they have no resistance. Well, no, they just don't have any resistance. So it's kind of like, this is fine. I like this good. Here's good as anywhere. Why can't we be here?
Oh, they're not responding to the massage of the sonar. You don't mean that.
No, they don't care.
They like not leaving, is what you're saying.
No, they just like this new experience that they're engaged in.
Oh, well, how do they perceive it?
What's the new experience?
For them.
Well, the new experience for them is that they're staying longer than they normally would.
They're breaking the rules.
What's wrong with that? Because they don't have a regret. They don't, it's just throw the ball. They don't care how hard you throw it or where you throw it or if you throw it or just throw the ball. Throw the ball. But if they're able to pick up on this because they are perfectly resistance-less.
What are they picking up on?
The experience.
Of staying. I think you're now talking about another experience of the moment of us looking at the UFOs that are disappearing.
You, like the whales, want to experience things. You have out loud...
Now, Carol, places. Just a minute, Ian. You see the... Far right when it disappeared, and then look how it's become a little dome.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And they may change colors yet.
Wow.
You asked for that experience, and you 3-2-1'd it and allowed Source to get a hold of you, so you changed your asking and wanting, and just like the natives looking out at the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, now for the very first time, you're able to experience it.
Yeah.
because it's been there for a long time. You just haven't seen it.
You mean a long time for eons or many clouds, or do you mean?
For, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I said, now, okay, now that you're here, I'm sorry I took you here, but I'm not sorry because you took it here, so there.
Yeah.
That's where all this Atlantean crap and Lemurian crap and Bootean crap all has to come from somewhere. So that's as good as where, that's as good of where as anywhere is.
Now note, Ion is talking about what we're seeing from 6,000 miles away. Ion, you know, supposedly 6,000 miles away with JW in Georgia, and he's describing what we're seeing on our balcony. So Ion is there too, through the speakerphone. Note that.
What is the where are you referring to? The sky?
The where of this information that has made us civilized human beings from these perceived visitors from other galaxies far, far away.
Right, but they are source. They are not source. I don't know if they're source. Well, there is a legend that UFOs in part help humans evolve. Is that, are you referring to that legend?
Well, and I'm also referring to the part of creation that has become you.
You see the right UFO. Okay, now look, you know, there's the archetypal V-shaped UFO. You see the one that became the tube. Now it's bigger, but underneath it there's a white one that's got the triangle effect. That bottom in white, right below the gray. You see the one that went into the UFO archetypal dome thing?
Yeah.
Right underneath it, see that little white thing? It's starting to scatter, a little white cloud.
Is it a little lower down?
A little square, a little white square.
It
was more the traditional shape.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other one on the left, the big one, is disappearing, but it is beaming. It looks like it's beaming down light.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
According to Queen, that's what makes the rocking world go round.
The Queen's a group, right?
Yes.
And what makes the world go round?
The fat bottom girl.
Oh, yeah, right. This is JW's rock and roll reservoir.
Leading into our conversation.
Yeah. But what's nice is that the big one on the left has become another little dome.
Yeah.
Right, and now really nice dome. But like, how did they go over their camps? It doesn't make sense. They evaporated, but then they are over in another part of the sky, a little bit behind it, in a different shape. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And has it changed colors in your perception?
Well, it's become darker gray. And it's still within the gray zone. The grays. This is what the grays are, Carol. It's clouds.
Yeah, the grays are clouds.
That's a good one, eh, JW?
They're very good.
Yeah.
You can see they're beating the lies right now and no chin.
That's right. You see the two dots beside the big mothership, Carol?
Yeah, let me come over.
Look,
yeah.
They're actually, the two of them leaving. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Now, how far away is that? It could be just, you know, a mile up or something. I don't know distance. But it could be far away, or is it just...
How far away is it, Ion?
From us.
Precisely. They're in the lower levels of your stratosphere, which is just in above the 45,000 feet range.
But that is, they look from our perspective to be lower than that, correct?
Well, because from the stratosphere, if that's why they stay there, it's because for everybody else looking, they wouldn't see it.
Yeah, only we're seeing. You see, they look like they're just above the horizon, so to speak, right?
Well, the event horizon is exactly correct, but that doesn't have to be next door. That can be a long way away that you get to still experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right, now the sea count, 45,000 feet will be way up there, right? And they are 45,000 feet, but they look like they're at 3,000 feet, so to speak.
Now, planes that are way up in the sky, okay,
uh-huh.
now have the ability, it's not uncommon, to see and or hear them. Okay? So now you can see a plane way up in the sky. But before, there's no way you could see it because that was too high, too far to see.
Right.
Now, to see a plane go by, it's not easy. Sometimes you have these experiences and you go, oh wait, that's a helicopter. Oh wait, that's a plane. Because that's what you're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But because of your asking, because of your wanting, it becomes a really fun place to stay. Go look right now and enjoy this part that is part of already your asking.
Mm.
That's 3-2-1 at its best. That should probably make the book.
That means this whole section should be transcribed?
Well, it will be.
Or the last sentence?
It will be. All of it.
Oh, okay.
But the experience, and you did it, see, because it was your asking.
Now, here's my question. I did not consciously experience my asking. I hadn't been thinking of UFOs for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it
doesn't matter. It was in your escrow, and you had no resistance regarding it.
Yeah, because we talked about it a lot before, and we thought about it, and then we just sort
dropped it.
And
then, but it took ions.
You dropped the conversation. You dropped the resistance regarding it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but ion saw that they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Ion was jarred because you three wanted to see it and wanted it to be your manifestation. It was your manifestation. Non-physical, pure positive source energy got a hold of it, your position, and one affected your wanting, your asking, to bring you into the place where you were the closest to the vortex of that being your reality. So all that non-physical did was help build a bridge that allowed your number one to become your number three.
Right, now was this done over the last 2 weeks or done in the last 15 minutes, or is it not a time thing?
Not a time thing, because it could have been in 15 seconds or it could have been 15 years.
Yeah.
See?
So in some ways, we're in the non-physical right now. If you think of non-time,
all there is now. All there is now. I mean, you don't know tomorrow, and yesterday you got wrong, so who cares?
Yeah, Carolyn, I remember when I had a session with the Evergreens, and it got into time and something, the questions. And when Michael woke up, he had his impressions, and he loved the reading because I think it might have been McLuhan talking about now, the now. Michael woke up and said, I used to think the now was this, but my whole sense of now has hugely expanded. This is a huge now. It's not now like in the top room here and we can see the street, that little now that your eye sees. There's a huge now. Right, Ion?
That is exactly correct.
Wow.
And then now it's exponential.
Exponential. It's like Jesus. It's like a Life of Brian movie where Jesus on the mouth and he keeps saying the wrong word to the culture, which means you're a stupid person, but he keeps emphasizing the stupid word.
Eli, Abu Sabatani.
That's somebody from those days?
No, that's what he was saying in Hebrew on the cross.
What is the translation?
Was, take this, let this cup pass from me.
Let this cup pass from me. So that was fun. I could see the UFOs today better than I could 2 weeks ago when we took the pictures.
Oh, okay, then 2 weeks is your time. So that's good.
Yeah.
But that 2 weeks is in your now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So the as I imagine the big now, Carolyn?
Yes.
That helps me be immortal.
Yes.
It helps me conceive that I can't die.
Right.
No, because you're already dead.
I'm dead to limited versions of now. I'm alive to a larger now. I
don't which way is it now?
Neither. Tactile. Now, okay. Let's get the depth. I see. You wanted to get to
throw the ball. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. Just throw the ball. Come on. hold on, one more time. Let's throw the ball. Come on, you need 12 more pages in this little section. Throw the ball. Come on, please, just throw the ball. How many is that? Can we do a little more? Throw the ball. I like this, man. Let's just throw the ball. Come on, can we throw the ball? Did we throw the ball? Let's throw the ball. I really like it when we throw the ball. Okay, go ahead, throw the ball. And Carolyn, if you need to add some more, you have our permission.
Yeah, I'll do a loop.
Now, here's the thing. I'm doing this on the beach. Then Ion throwing the ball. A guy is observing, comes up, Mr. Ion, that dog is like a great shape. It doesn't get tired.
And Ion smiles and says, no, he just loves it when we throw the ball.
Yeah. So, tactility. I think you mean by tactile, sensory contact. What McClure means by tactile is the gap between things.
Well, maybe, but now see, wait a second now. That's interesting. You took us here.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if someone wanted to, okay, let's go back to your world. Let's go back to the Grays. You want to have some fun?
Yeah, the Grays. We have a whole new meaning for the Grays, girl.
Yeah.
Well, but now I want to use the one that you've been exposed to.
Yeah.
Sometimes people want to see this or don't want to see this, and they are captured in this position of seeing it, being able to draw pictures of it, know that they know, and then those people that had eyewitness accounts, you're not going to change their mind.
Right.
Alright? Sometimes you have a wanting that you wanted to desire, but what if they start landing in your front lawn and causing a problem in their neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
What if Carolyn's crystals on the fence start drawing them?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, the homeowners association won't understand that one. Do you see that experience, which is tactile, because you want to enjoy the experience, but you don't want them hovering over your house, causing the CNN to move next door.
Mm-hmm. Right, but what do you mean by tactile there?
Well, tactile is that the tactile difference of the experiencing of the experience and the tactility of embracing the experience, that it's only your experience. It means different things. For example, someone who doesn't want to be captured by aliens and have those tubes run up their nose, okay, that they don't want that can be their experience. If they push resistance or tactility regarding that expression, that's not what they just wanted to see the Ferris wheel go around. They didn't really want to ride on it.
Yeah.
And the difference between riding on the Ferris wheel or experiencing it and witnessing the Ferris wheel go round and round is a tactile expression of what can be their reality. It goes both ways. Because you can have a fear with this, and the next thing you know, the aliens will pick you up and beam you up, Scotty, and then you'll be in these fast progressive memory things of the tactile experience that the great impregnated you with their demon seed.
Yeah.
There you go. Or,
not. You have a private experience. You don't resist that. You use the word tactile correctly. You said, The tactile is the difference between. It's in the gap.
Yes.
And it can go either way, the making.
Yes.
So tactility is like a vague word, like life. What is life? We go through thousands of years tabulating what life is. We have all different...
Well, that's easy, Bob. It's a magazine.
Yes. Now, it's funny because that's what the Evergreen said.
That's right.
Yeah. That's about 18 years ago. The 19 years ago. So, Carolyn, the tactile, it's like a too generic term, but it's actually about the process of in-betweenness. And it does include contact, sensory contact, but not contact.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, to imagine it, to have contact with something is to fear it. This is a temporary definition.
Uh-huh.
And then you're resisting it. So, if you fear something, you have contact with it, you're resisting it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep your brain loose and you don't need to touch it, which is not action,
mm-hmm.
it will manifest according to your wanting, not from your fear.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect words.
Thank you. I was tempted to say it, but I waited for the judge. No, you get, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not your fear. Got it.
See, Eduardo's conversation was very interesting when he was saying, is there ESP? No, is there tactility involved with ESP? And I said, no tactility involved with ESP. Then that helped us understand what tactility is. It's human making. It's the interplay of sensory contact and not contact. Mm-hmm. But it is, but source is also tactile if in the non-sensory part, because it's non-physical and it's inside of us. There's not a, that's a good definition of tactility. It's not a sense, but the interplay of senses. Non-physical is the interplay.
Mm-hmm.
So tactility can refer to this dimension or the source dimension. How am I doing, source?
Perfect. And here's the fun part of that. You want to have some fun?
Yeah.
You are experiencing unrealized creation of Marshall McLuhan.
Exactly. Hold the line. I want to take this from the guy who made the McLuhan album. Hey, Dave.
Hey, buddy.
Right now, I'm talking to the medium.
Oh, we're on the other line.
Now, listen, yeah, on the other line, I wanted to tell you this. And I was just expounding my interpretation. And do you know that the sphere is called Ion? Have we told you that?
No.
Okay, it's called Ion. Ion is listening. Ion can hear me, right, through the speaker.
No, he's off. No.
Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Hi, buddy.
Ion, are you there? No, you put him on a different network.
Oh, okay.
He's gone.
Okay.
So hurry up.
No, it's all right. So Ion is there. I just did a little rant interpreting what source or spirit meant by tactility. And then I did this rant. He said perfect words. And then he said, you have just, and as he was saying it, the phone blipped.
Whoopsie.
Whoopsie, I see Neufeld, but he says, you have just expressed, what did he say?
You're experiencing non-realized creation of McLuhan.
Yeah, it was something about McLuhan. And so I said to Ion, well, we have the guy who made the McLuhan album just showed up.
Now get back to Ion, Bob.
Ion. That's a good one. Ion. W-A-N.
Okay, bye, Dave.
No.
We can't leave them in transit.
Ion is enjoying this.
Okay. Oh, no. Well, maybe so. But, yeah, no. Call me back.
Yeah, see, you'll answer in a few hours.
Most likely, but either that or I'll call you back.
Yeah, give me, say, two or three hours.
Do your thing.
Okay, bye.
Thanks.
Ion.
Hi.
Wasn't that fun?
I didn't hear a word.
Oh, okay. The guy who made the McLuhan album many years ago called right when you said the realization of McLuhan I just experienced.
Oh, fine.
And we got to tell him. Now, he was scheduled to have a reading, but he had to put it off. And I was telling him all that happened, the synchronicity.
Is this Ion or JW?
This is Ion.
Okay.
And you've got to smell JW's chicken soup.
Oh, I'm getting starving here.
Oh, it's incredible.
Send some over.
No, I can feel we are flowing better. I still got to go back to the original problem about antimatter. Suppose the cameras want to hear it. This interface between source and antimatter and matter. To me, it sounds like antimatter, in a way, is tactility, but it's the thought part that we pick up from source.
It's the thought part that syndicates from source.
That what? Vindicates?
Syndicates it from source. Because you can create whatever you want to create with us or without us.
But wait a minute, you go vindicates it. What does it refer to?
Thought part that vindicates it
from source. Well, what does it refer to?
Your...
The matter?
Yes, the antimatter. It is the antimatter.
Thought is the... What was it, Karen? You wrote it. Thought is the...
It's the thought part that vindicates it from source.
Well, then you get the first it. Anyways, antimatter is the thought part that vindicates it from source.
And it is antimatter.
Right.
That's what you were talking about.
And it's sort of thought, but not thought.
Correct. It's the creation. You create. Okay? And that creation is matter. So the part that you are creating that has not created yet is antimatter. And that's what vindicates it, the antimatter, that you have the ability to be talking about the conclusion of a thought or a process from Marshall McLuhan and somebody call in. That's antimatter that became matter. That's what it, and if it, that conversation vindicated your discussion of the completion of a Marshall McLuhanism.
That's right. So now back, read the sentence again once he's explained it. It's the thought.
It's the thought part that vindicates it from source.
Okay. Here's what I understand. Source, we create source, we create. But we get our creations from ideas, which come from source, which has all the
ideas. They come from you, but they flow through source.
Oh, they flow through source from us.
So that's about the non-creation, the escrow, the non-realized creation.
Is that source? That's this flow from the physical back to the non-physical and then back to the physical.
Perfect. It makes a perfect triangulation.
Oh.
That's the difference is the hypotenuse of that triangulation is how far it is from the equidistant of the first angle of the triangle, because there's all different kinds of triangles.
Right. So the...
And we had to do triangulation so we could do, because if you don't have triangulation, you can't run the logarithm of those wavelengths in you.
Right, and Bucky Fuller said the triangle was the main form in matter.
It was the only form in matter. Because if you can't triangulate the position, how can you calculate the angle of point of position?
Well, is the new complexities of math today, whatever they are, I'm not going to school, but it's probably not doing Pythagorean triangle stuff or Euclid, is the complexities in math and geometry today a product of the computers or a distraction from the truth of the triangle, or a necessary improvisation?
The threads that are written in computer, even COBOL, computer language,
yeah,
is all based upon the different givens, like the Pythagorean theorem, like E equals MC squared, like all these other understood givens or known or creations. And that is limited by those theories. You have this misconception that the speed of light is 183,000 miles per second per second.
186, I think.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's correct. That's wrong, because the speed of light is faster than that. It's just all you can calculate.
Hmm.
So, therefore, if you wrote the computer program that was exponentially going to increase the universe, and that becomes the premise with an X and a Y and an O and a 1 thread, then you're going to have garbage in, garbage out. So you have now limited the reality exponentially, pardon the pun, you have limited it exponentially.
You have just done a little spiel that would fascinate physicists, mathematicians. They would be,
yes.
They would be
they
intrigued.
Have based it on a false premise.
Right, but see, I couldn't follow it exactly.
Okay.
But
that's
I'm saying that physicists would love to hear that kind of talk.
That's okay. We it was just the developing of the process. All that you need to get out of that was that as the laws or the increase of what mathematics is now, they're still based upon some of these theorems that are maybe proven, maybe not, okay? I mean, Sir Isaac Newton had an apple whacking in the head, and that became the indication to cause the law of gravity.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the apple fell, right? But if a big wind came and blew the apple up, would that have changed the law of gravity in his respect? And that was where it all came from. And that's what we still give credit to now. And that still is the case now. Well, what if the wind had blown the apple and it went up instead of down?
Mm-hmm.
Would that law have been gauged differently?
Well, it's hard
then all of a sudden now you got a whole other premise. Here's a fun one for you. Go to Colorado, to what is called the Continental Divide.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a place in the Continental Divide that you can climb up to. It's a pass. It's just north. It's between Estes Park and Colorado and Boulder, Colorado. And you can climb up that. And there is a sheer, a mountaintop that is the Continental Divide, and you can commit suicide, or try to. What happens is, there's this ditch, and they have a little platform thing there where you can look over and see it, and you can, they it's all something that's kind of strange, and lover's leap, or some cliche thing. But the fun of this particular place is that you jump off of it and the wind is always whipping across this part of the Continental Divide, that if you jump, it will blow you back up on the side of the ledge.
Wow, do people do that?
Sure. It's like a lover's leap for some, it's very cliche live. But that's the whole point. You can jump off and it'll flip you right back up. And you jump off and it'll flip you right back up. Starkly defying Newton's law of gravity.
Wow.
Well, if he'd have been there to figure out gravity, it would have been a very different law.
Yeah,
that's what the thing is judged by, even in your day now today.
I think you were leading up to the math today is complicated because it's built on false premises.
They're not complete premises,
yeah.
And yet their basis of all these things are stuff from very, 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 very long time ago.
Right. But life is not simple. You could say it can be, and I was thinking that if you go around thinking life is simple, then you might have tuned into the 3-2-1 process.
Or you've activated Occam's razor, and that becomes real in your life.
Right. Is there a disservice to going around thinking life's simple?
No.
No. Is there a disservice thinking that life is complex?
No.
We are talking a lot of...
Now that's tactility.
Yes, that's... Tactility is a sense and not a sense. It's the interplay of sense and the touch. And I got that. And everything... You mentioned the triangle and then the sine waves. That's the pulsate. You have the solid triangle, rigid, so to speak, and then you have the tactile. You have the sine wave also pulsating through it and around the triangle, and the interplay of the movement and the stability of the triangle, the movement of the sine wave, is, again, tactility.
Except for the cotangent of those angles that affect the length of the wave length.
Okay, guys, I'm off to the pool. I'll be back shortly, okay?
Did we get you where you needed to be, my dear?
You always do. I'll be back.
What? It's going. You're going late, Carol.
I know. Bye.
Okay.
If there's a detail out of this, it's not your fault.
You're saying that to Bob?
No, I'm saying that to Carol. It'll be your fault, Bob.
Well, the thing is, we're going. We've done 2 hours, and it's fun to go on. But are we complexifying? Are we complexifying what is simple? Let me say this. My answer is no. We need to do the 40 years, which would take 3 days, because that's enjoying the process.
Yes, that's the journey.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Nothing wrong with that. We love to play, because you see, you brought us forth, and then they're bringing us forth. That becomes, for all who wish it, or it is their wanting, it now becomes a way for them to engage. See?
Yes, and that immediately brings up the image of people being inspired to channel or contact source in their idiosyncratic ways at our Grand Malaya Resort. And I relate that back to a statement made in the first sessions that it will be said many years in the future that it all started here with Bob, Carol, and I on and JW. That, to me, I just see all these people channeling and say, someone shows up in 5 years,
there's channeling. We're now up to 2,000 people have channeled. If it was tabulated, they would say, well, where to begin? Who was the first channel? Is it that level that Ion was referring to when it said at the future they'll say it all began here?
Yes, and that's why when they were trying to figure out the name of God, he very correctly said, I am.
Yeah. I haven't discussed this, but it's an interesting topic. We said, what do we call you? He said, I am. I did not know that was the meaning of Yahweh. I knew it years ago and forgot it. But then a week later, I found Yahweh and said, I am. I said, wow. The thing talking to us, when he said, what do we call you? He said, God. But in acceptable terms, I am. So that was a revelation that it actually said it's God. And you were referring to that? Restate what you said in light of these thinkings I just uttered. You just said something about God, and it was that they were...
Why, when they were trying to figure out what to call the non-physical, physical part of themselves, it was translated to them. If they ask, what is your name, tell them, I am, told you.
And who's them? Who? This was
Moses.
That's what he said when he was on the mountain, you mean?
That's what Moses said. God told him that if they ask him, what is your name? Who are you talking to me? Tell them that I am the great I am.
Right.
Now for Moses to say that made Moses am.
Yes.
And it certainly was.
How did it make Moses an I am?
Because he was then God's spokesman on the earth.
Right. I am. Well, who told you I am? Did they go?
No. They said, okay, you were on the Mount Sinai and you got the top 10 and you got it all worked out. And so who is this God that you spoke to on Mount Sinai where the cloud of glory ended? And Moses said, I am.
I am. I am. He didn't say I was told I am. He just went, I am.
Well, that's what God told him to say.
Okay. Yeah, not that
I am. I am, and that's the whole point. And instead of taking that as I am, or you are, or we are, or they is, instead of running it that way, it turned into a representation of God that eliminated them from source energy.
Right.
Then they had to have the scribes and the Pharisees. Then they had to have the Sanhedrin. Then they had to have the chief priests and the elders. Then they had to have all these different ones that said, yes, this was from God, and no, this is not. And you don't know the law, because we made the law, and you can't live up to it, so you got to do this and this, and if you mess up, you got to sit before us, and we will speak the truth that is God in your experience. And that rambled on all the way through the Council of Nicaea to then interpret and decide which books of the Apocrypha were included in the canon and which were excluded. So, now God's Word becomes the infallible Word of God, except it was only fallible by what the Council of Nicaea in 25 decided would make it and not make it.
Was the Council of Nicaea about 325 A.D.?
No, it was 25 A.D.
Okay. Now, 25 A.D. is... Yeah, that's just a few years after 30. No, like Jesus was born in 0 AD and died in 33 AD.
No. AD was 33. After death is when he was 33. But when Jesus was alive, that was not BC. That was just while he was alive. It was
right.
A break, that amount of time.
Oh, so this is 25 years after his 33rd year.
Correct.
Yeah.
That was A.D., after death. B.C. is before Christ.
Okay.
So what you going to do with those 33 years? What is that? Is that D.C. during Christ? Where is that accounted for?
It doesn't, but that's the tactile gap.
Well, but yet time is eternal and it's always accounted for. Except for those 33 years. That didn't count. It's not in recorded history.
That's right. Now,
when does that count? Would it be in the Jewish calendar?
It's the timeless zone. He was the timeless, the now, the great.
That's the point. That's that point of when we start talking about Old Testament. It's kind of like dog years.
Right. They're off a bit because they don't account for that 33 years.
It's a perfect example, and we're not pushing against anything. We're just bringing it into the place that you're asking.
Right, but there was the important point. Can you tell me what I'm missing? Maybe you can read my thought. What's the thought I was trying to think? Or that I thought and then lost in relation to this topic of the last 2 minutes?
You were coming.
Oh, I got it. Go. I know what it is. Tell me. Well, now you can get it. I'm thinking it. Can you tell me what the thought is that I'd forgotten and now I've remembered?
We were rolling back into giving the references of the text so that he had forced before the time. Think before
right,
the time.
Right, no,
time. Oh.
I was trying to remember my question, and I remembered it. The question was, I understand that the Nicene Creed happened in 300 AD. I don't know. I haven't checked up.
Yes, the Nicene Creed did. That's correct. But the Council of Nicaea decided what was going to be in the Bible in 25 AD.
In my mind, they decided 325, but I'm not an expert.
No, your history shows that.
Yes, you mean my personal knowledge of history?
Well, you can, your Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. That's a good one. Okay,
they also said at the Council of Nicaea in the year 25, then you would celebrate Easter.
Mm.